Republic of Texas Radio, and he just brought up owning the weather by 2025. Actually, I linked to that document off of American Exposé. It was one of it was an instrumental piece in my waking up again as a highly paid consultant. One day I walked out of my consulting job at a major biopharmaceutical, customer. And my telecom guy goes to me, "Hey, look up there." And he points to a chemtrail and he says, "That's a chemtrail." And I said, "What? That's a contrail." And we began that discussion and went to lunch. And I looked at him as he explained weather modification around the world. And I stared at him going, "This guy's flipping insane." And we went through an uncomfortable lunch period, went back to work. And the next day, the USA Today actually printed an article about owning the weather by 2025. And so I came in with this USA Today and I said, "Hey, Greg, look at this. Well, maybe you aren't crazy." And he says, "Of course I'm not crazy." And I'm like going, "Whoa, yeah, dude."
Steve, let me break in here real quick. You were on Friday night, with Richard Carey and everything, and the guys, and you kind of gave your bio. And folks, I want to tell you why Steve is my friend, one of the only friends I have in this area. This young man couldn't have grown up different. Steve grew up in San Francisco, working biking and spandex and computers and all this crap. I grew up
out
in the country, with a fishing pole and a shotgun and a rifle, and camo was a fashion statement. It's like you didn't wear, military BDUs past October. Once it's past October, you wore woodlands camouflage. And oh my God, then when duck season came in, you wore wetlands camo, It was a fashion statement. Two different people. Yet Steve was sitting here one time when he was staying with me, and Steve was telling me about what he was doing out in Silicon Valley, and he almost broke into tears. He told me the story. He was working for this corporation, and he I don't know if it was his friend before or if he made the friend while he was working for this. And this guy came in and said, "Hey." Me and my wife, we're getting ready to have a baby, and we just bought a house, and everything is good." And Steve was sitting there, and Steve was training the E-5B visa people. He was training this guy's replacement, and he knew, like in a week or two, that this guy wasn't going to have a job, and he wasn't going to have a house. And he wasn't going to have a baby, and live the comfortable life that he was at the point in time, because Steve was training his replacement. Steve looked at me and he was almost in tears. He said, "That's when I just
terrible.
Said,
thanks screw for
it.
Reminding
he said,
me.
He said, screw it. I can't do it anymore."
Thanks for reminding
me. That's why Steve
me,
is my friend. He's got personal integrity.
Well, they had you sign all sorts of non-disclosure agreements,
right,
and then they bring you into these horrible things, like all your friends, all the people that you know are going to go away, and you have to plan for their demise. And if they bring you into the fold, then you know something, and what you have to deal with the ethics of what you just did. I really shy away from non-disclosure agreements and contracts. Right, to get in between me and another,
it gets in between your handshake and your word and your personal integrity. Yes.
Disintegrity.
All right. Okay.
That's
well,
why
thanks.
Steve is my friend. That's why Steve is my friend for the RBN world out there. Yeah, couldn't be two different people, but he's got integrity, and I know that, and I know the man. He's my friend.
I think you got to keep working at integrity, because all these things, they just keep coming at you. Everybody's asking you to kiss the ring, or however they do it. And I remember those still, you know, it's like, well, people ask me that a lot, you know, it's like, well, what do you do for business? Do you have contracts? And I said, wow, if I have to have a contract, then I'm not doing business with you, right? You know, but what happens if somebody rips you off? Well, I don't know. We're going to figure that out someday, or maybe we won't. I don't know. You know, maybe
won't. Well, hey, Steve. So earlier in this week, I shot you a text message, or I actually talked to you on the phone. I called you. I interfered with your business. And I was saying, you know, maybe we should have a conversation about people who have helped other people. And so I got to talk to Steve. I got to talk to Alan. And he told me how he helped some people. And we're talking about Horatio shit. Crap. My bad.
And what do you mean, Horatio?
No. Did you actually stop to help somebody that you didn't know, and you helped somebody. And so I actually thought that would be a good show, and that was that night, because I talked to Alan for hours about what was going on in his little world, and he talked about a wreck that he went down, and he didn't call the cops. It wasn't 911 right off the bat.
I remember that one.
He went down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, but that was kind of the way I wanted to. That's why I threw a story at you.
I got you. I understand what you were saying that night. You called me up and said that we would talk about the problem is when you do things for people, it's really, I don't like to talk about it, right? Maybe I'll share it with you, or maybe I'd share it with Alan at some point in passing. But basically, we try to help people and move on. And the people that actually want to, you know, talk about what they do seem to, I don't know, it'd be disingenuous, you know, maybe that's the wrong word. It's like a politician that reminds you constantly of what they did for you. Sorry, go ahead.
See, this is like out here, you know, where I live out here, you know, it's a big, you know, people would bicycle up and down it. I was actually coming from town one time, and I saw this lady walking down the road, and I said, do you need help, ma'am? She said, oh, yeah, we wrecked on her bicycle, you know, on a low water crossing, and my husband's hurt, and So I went up, and her husband's laying in the road up there. He drug himself out of the road so he wouldn't get run over if a car came by, I guess, you know. And I'm like, okay, so I called 911, you know. And ended up, you know, they were on a tandem bicycle that you could pick up on one finger, you know, this titanium bike, you know. Rich people, and just freaked out, you know. Ended up, her husband broke his pelvis when they crashed on their double bike, you know. And, you know, ow. So I called 911. The ambulance came out, the sheriff came out and everything. And I took her bike, put it in my truck, took her back into town where they were staying at a bed and breakfast. And I let her out, and I said, well, you know, it's really easy to get to the hospital from here. You know, just go down here and turn right and go down. And she said, what do I owe you? And I looked at her, and I said, I don't want any money from you.
Kidding.
I said, how about next time you see someone on the side of the road that's in trouble, you stop and help them. That's all I ask you. Mm-hmm. You want to call it pay it forward? You know what? You know that's kind of a cheap term since the fucking movie came out. But how about just pay it forward? The next person you see in trouble, how about you stop and help them? You know, that's all I
Alan,
ask.
Alan,
I don't want you. I don't want any money. No,
you've helped out numerous people, right? And I don't need to toot your horn or anything, and especially on that road by your house. I remember the dually that the kids, you know, crashed by your house and nearly killed themselves, right, while they were drinking and driving, right? You helped them out. You saved their ass. I mean, that road. But see, my point, right, you know, and we've got another caller on the line, and I want to get to him really quick. But, Andy, just talking about the things that you've done, I could talk about the wonderful things that Alan did, right, because that's not Alan talking about him, right? You know,
Steve, that young man was from one of the most affluent families that used to be here before all the millionaires moved to San Francisco. And he called his sister, maybe. And his sister came out and she said, "You haven't called the police?" And I said, "As long as no one's seriously hurt," I said, "I see no reason to involve the sheriff's department or anyone else in it."
That's
"As long as this young man learns from what happened today," and she said, "Oh, believe me, he'll learn. His mom just bought him that truck a week ago, you know, brand new pickup truck,
Ooh.
You know, and he freaking totally destroyed it." And I looked at her and I said, "I don't see any reason to ruin someone's life as long as no one's seriously hurt, you know."
Yeah.
And she just looked at me and said, "Well, thank you." And I didn't get a thank you card in the mail. I've never heard from his family again. But I know they're there, and I hope that young man remembers what I did for him that day because he would have been in jail because he was drunk off his ass.
But see,
totally destroyed a pickup, damn near killed two of his friends, but they all lived through it. And I said, as long as they use this as a learning experience, you know, that I see no reason why he should be punished anymore. You know,
and that's an ethics thing.
There's far more details to that. I got to hear the entire story, and it's far more details to that. But the fact of the matter is that people helping people, and that's what we're going to have. This is the progression of what we're doing right now. Because sooner or later, we're going to have to help. We're going to meet some people when this crap hits the fan. We're going to meet some people. And we're going to have to decide whether we want to help them or not help them. And that's what's going on. And Alan just did, he just brought up a theory there that, yeah, no, I can actually do this without getting a law involved in this. So they got a tow truck out there. They got the truck. The axle was sitting on the road and they were sitting in the creek. And he didn't call the cops. And the first thing you do, if you call an ambulance, then the cops are coming to you. So that's the thing, is that we don't really need these people. We just need people like Ellen. We need people who would just go do the right thing.
Like our RBN family. I'm pretty sure that most of the people listening to RBN are friends and family, and they have the mindset that I do. They will help people in a bind. You know, if someone needs help, most of the RBN family will stop and they will help someone. And not get anyone's... Don't throw them in prison because it's a young man came from a party and he's drunk and he wrecked his pickup. There's no freaking reason to call the law on him and destroy his life. No.
Exactly. Okay, gentlemen, have a great show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andy. All right, well, let's get to Mike in Kentucky. He's been on for a little bit. And let's see. Hey, Mike.
How's the Flat Earth Society of Texas doing this morning?
It's doing very straight.
Man, I've been munching on that cheese stuffed crust all day long, you know, that the pizza. Yeah.
I hear the eclipse has something to do with the Flat Earth, too.
Well, I just heard Alan talking about, I heard somebody mention before I called in about the Earth being some little blue dot or something somewhere. I don't know.
I don't think we said that.
Mike, have you ever watched Horton Hears a Who? You know, it's a Dr. Seuss cartoon. You know, the elephant, you know, he's got these great big ears, and he can hear this little guy on this little dust speck on the top of a dandelion puff that he's holding in his trunk.
Oh.
He can hear that there's a whole other civilization down there. It's the Who's.
Right. Like in the Men in Black, where the cat's necklace
right.
is a whole other galaxy.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway,
that cartoon changed my life. It opened up my mind. It's like, wow, there are endless possibilities. You know, simply because we can't perceive it, we can't hear it, we can't see it, does not mean it's not there.
Well, there's similar principles to what you guys were just talking about, like I was naked and you didn't clothe me, or I was hungry and you didn't feed me. Away with you, I didn't know you. And I don't think a lot of Christians keep that, you know, and that's a lot of them do. You know, they have their food ministries and clothing ministries and things like that.
Mike,
or they maybe pick up a hitchhiker.
In today's world, Mike, Christian is more of a word than it is an actual philosophy. There are good Christian people out there. I will admit that. But Christian, I don't call myself a Christian because I've known lots of people that sit in a church pew that they sit in a church pew for an hour on a Sunday, and the other 6 days and 23 hours out of the week, they rape and pillage and just bad, you know?
It's capitalism, right? It's cannibalistic capitalism. You got to be the patriotic American and engage in, you know, stepping on everybody else so you can make it.
Training your replacement. If you're in trouble on the side of a highway, you would want me coming by, not just someone who calls himself a Christian. You would want me coming by because I would stop and help you.
By their fruits, you will know them. That's the thing. And, you know, the Essenes had a principle that if you have to swear an oath to tell the truth, you're already cursed, I think, is the version that they had of it. So I've never been comfortable with all this oath swearing that pervasive throughout our society. But here recently, I've been shocked at some of the college graduates, one with an environmental science degree and another one with a journalism degree, that have got sucked into flat earth. And it's because of the way they're reading. Yeah. It's kind of a little bit disconcerting. Like, they're, who is it? The Israeli Zionists that are running a psyop on Christians, especially trying to divide.
You know what's interesting
70%.
About the whole, sorry, the flat earther thing, you know, I studied that back in 2011. I used to have this guy on my radio show on the Micro Effect that talked about that. And, well, he claimed to be the second coming of Jesus, but, you know, that's a different story. But he was talking about Cyrus Teed back in the late 1800s, 1900s, who had a religious thing going on in Florida. But he was actually trying to base his belief of the inverted hollow earth. Well, it was actually inverted hollow earth, so maybe I'm skipping subjects. You ever hear about Cyrus Teed and the inverted hollow earth?
Steve, the guy you're talking about, this guy Steve's talking about, also claimed to be the second coming of Christ. You know,
and
he actually ran for county sheriff somewhere up in the northeast up there. But
Did you ever hear of Cyrus Teed and the inverted hollow earth theory, Mike?
Oh, no, but I've seen plenty of what looks like Photoshop stuff that tries to claim that they can see the entrance to hollow earth.
I've worked really hard.
But then you can see the curvature of the earth, too. I could sort of think that maybe there's hollow places in the moon. I mean, you're familiar with that experiment they did, right, where
inverted hollow earth theory says that we live on the inside of a basketball, not on the outside, right?
Yeah.
And that the center is the big something or other. Maybe, you know, we just can't see across the inside of the basketball. And, you know, it's interesting.
Hey, guys, how about this?
Go ahead, Alan.
When we have the solar eclipse, when the moon comes between the sun and the earth, is there a dark side of the moon if the dark side of the moon is facing the sun? Is there a dark side of the moon?
No, there's always a dark side of the moon, but it's not the same side. it's just like the dark side of the earth. When people say that, they mean the far side of the moon, because the moon goes through a 28-day. It rotates in 28 days as it goes around the earth. So there's always half of
the moon.
You're
telling me that Pink Floyd was lying to me.
No, there is a dark side to the earth, too. But it doesn't
but it's
stay
always
dark.
Changing.
Well, Terminator.
Man, we could talk for months, guys. You know, unfortunately, we only have 2 hours. We could talk for months on some of this stuff.
Anyways, I was
just shocked at some of the people that have gotten drawn into flat earth.
It seems like the flat earthers are all coming from a religious aspect, playing twisted scripture. And, you know, at least I haven't found one that didn't have a religious aspect to it. Have you?
What's interesting is that the seven light menorah represented the seven visible wandering stars or planets. But then when they found Neptune, it's like, uh-oh, the rabbis are wrong. Yeah. So all of a sudden there's a nine light menorah.
Oi, vade, tell me it isn't so.
Yeah, but then the nine light menorah, I guess what happened after Pluto was no longer a planet, you know? Oops.
Well, anyway, you know, I've never accepted the fact that they can de-planet a planet, you know, in my
That's
lifetime.
Because there's moons that are as big as, there's moons in the solar system that are as big as Pluto, and then there's all these Oort cloud objects that are as big as Pluto, so what do you do with them? You know?
Hey, Mike, can you answer this question? I'm sitting here outside Fredericksburg, Texas, on a ranch, and I've got a satellite dish pointed up at the sky, and supposedly this satellite is 22,000 miles out in a geosynchronous orbit, you know?
Right.
If I'm living on a pizza with a cheese stuffed crust called Antarctica, how can I pick up a satellite? Can you explain that to me?
Well, think about it. Have you ever experienced what I've heard called sunspots for decades? Have you ever experienced the outages that happen in the spring and the fall for a few days, where your satellite just starts chopping up and it's the sun? You go out and look, and the sun is straight over top of where it's pointed.
No, really, the only time my satellite goes out is when there's a big rainstorm with a lot of water in it to the south. That's the only time my satellite blocks out. But I can tell you my digital television signal, it blanks out in the middle of nothing.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you just any little thing, a bird farts, and your digital television can go out. But no, you may have missed it, because it generally only on those little dishes it might last for 2 or 3 minutes. And it happens twice a year where the sun lines up exactly behind it. But those big old dishes, you could actually see the shadow of the sun in the center of the dish where the satellite you were pointed at. You know, generally, what is that, 79 degrees or 89 degrees west, IE5 is where RBN is at. So when the sun is almost due south, you can watch the shadow progress across your dish.
Global Star is 171 degrees, almost due south. At about 45 degrees inclination.
Yeah. Right. So just go out and notice about when local noon occurs, you'll see the shadow of that arm is lining up with the focal point, and you might start hearing it chop up, or switch over to a video channel and see if it starts tiling out. That usually happens about twice a year for a couple of days. But it has to be, you know, I think it's near, just past after the equinox and before the equinox in the fall. But I you know, it's been a while. I've got a picture of a big prime focus dish with the shadow right under the amplifier. And that's what people kept calling it, sunspots, but that's not what it is. It's the alignment.
Hey, Mike, anyway. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe we're living on a ball or a globe or semi-globe, or are we living on a pizza with Antarctica on the outside edges? And
if a
world hunger starts, we just all need to go to Antarctica and we can eat the cheese-filled crust of the pizza.
My parents bought me a JCPenney El Cheapo telescope that exercised my patience in the late 70s. I think it was 78. In 1978, everybody was all, the preachers and everybody was like, oh, the planets are going to line up, there's going to be earthquakes, and it's going to be the end of the world, and all this crap. And then, you know, 10 years later, 88 reasons for Jesus to return in 1988. So I've been looking at the stars. I saw the blue north pole of Saturn in 1978. So a few years later, when NASA published that hexagonal cloud on the north pole of Saturn, I'm like, why didn't they colorize this blue? And I didn't make the association with the dang Israeli flag. And Stephen, the first martyr, Boxing Day in England, has been eclipsed by Kwanzaa. They're covering that up. The star of Renfren is in the center of the Israeli flag, and it's the Saturn worship goes back to ancient Babylon. It makes me wonder if they had telescopes, or the solar system was a lot smaller.
Something.
You know. Something weird, huh? Yeah.
Something weird. There's
you've,
so many
seen that, right?
References to weird stuff, the Nazca lines. You know, it's like, wow, our planet has been such a planet before. Our civilization.
Round Rock. Round Rock, Texas?
Hey,
Round Rock, Texas?
How about this, guys?
Round Rock. What about Round Rock? Tell me.
When you think you know the truth is when you have to stop yourself and say, I wonder what truth really is.
Mike, what were you saying about Round Rock? I don't know anything about Round Rock.
Round Rock, Texas, yeah.
What about it?
Megalithic stone structures that
yes.
Nobody knows how they built them all over the planet, from Montana to Round Rock to Peru to, you know. And
I thought RVM was in Round Rock.
Mike, if we were allowed to go into the back halls of the Smithsonian Institution, we would probably find the skeletons that they found piled up against the Round Rock, the wall. That's what Round Rock, Texas was called Round Rock, Texas for. There were these huge walls that they built to keep out something.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Okay. Have fun at church, man.
You too, bye.
Okay. See you later.
Have a good Ramadan, Mike. Yeah.
Ramadan. Oh, my God. You got a lot of things to say to Mike, don't you?
Mike's another friend of mine. I've talked with Mike for hours and hours and hours off air.
Interesting guy.
Very interesting guy to talk with.
I know. He's a fellow bicyclist. You know, I like him. You know, even though I don't like a lot of bicyclists, it's kind of one of the dichotomies that is a Steve. I ride bicycles but don't like bicyclists. You know, it could be because they're so pretentious. Alan, I guess that's the big problem. Like you called me a spandex man.
What camouflage pattern were you wearing when you rode those bikes, Steve? Were you in season?
Quite honestly, Alan, most of the times I wore like a khaki green short, right? Shorts. They weren't spandex. That's just not my style, right? I didn't have a fancy spandexy thing at all. You know, even when I was riding in the velodrome, right? You know, you pedal around in a circle with a fixed gear bicycle. That was a blast, by the way, Alan. You know, but I was a bicyclist, and all these other people were road raid riders, and they'd dress up in their spandex, and I'd just have a t-shirt on and a pair of shorts, right? But I lived on a fixie. Right. And so these guys would get up and we'd drive around and we'd pretend we're racing because I never raced in a velodrome. But as a cyclist, I just loved it. But the funny thing is in a velodrome when you're running with a whole bunch of road riders, they'll sit there and you go all out and you're really fast. And then they decide that they want to coast. They lock up the rear wheel and crash everybody. So you got to watch out for those roadies. But no, as far as dressing funny.
My bicycle was a purple Schwinn Stingray with a banana seat.
I had one of those.
That was my bicycle.
You only had one gear. So Sam just sent me a picture of a Round Rock. That's interesting. It is a rock, Round Rock, Texas.
Folks, you might still be able to find it on the internet. I don't know which platform you're using, but look up Round Rock, Texas, and why it's called Round Rock. Do you also understand that's where Alex Jones came from? Just in occurrence.
What? Round Rock? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Look up Round Rock, Texas. There was actually a host on RBN at one point that was talking about Round Rock and why it's called Round Rock. Because, you know, there were walls built and they found these elongated skulls and everything, these like 30-foot, you know, skeletons at the bottom of it that are in the back halls of the Smithsonian. And, you know, John Stadtmiller didn't like people talking about woo-woo crap. And that guy was gone shortly after he brought up, you know, what Round Rock was and why it's called Round Rock. And look into it.
Kind of like the talking about the crystal skulls, you know, it's like, we're talking about serious stuff like weather modification. But it is serious stuff, weather modification. And people think it's crazy, right? You know, but, there's too many references to it. You know, the United Nations doesn't have a thing trying to promote the Tooth Fairy, does it? Right? You know, they have a lot of stuff, but the United Nations is a nefarious group. And, well, generally,
are you trying to tell me you don't believe in Santa Claus, Steve? Damn you. Damn you.
I don't know, Alan. I guess I don't. Right? But maybe there was something like a Santa Claus at some point. But no. No, I don't. And that wasn't a serious question, was it? Okay, be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Like you said, it's in my head. The can run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. We'll miss it for the sun.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying they're low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Coming into the home stretch, you know, Sam and I were just talking about Alex Jones and the possible connections to Round Rock, and we didn't get anywhere with that, but that's okay. I have myself decided that Alex Jones had a Huffy bicycle, not a Schwinn, and that's just a guess because of my psychic energy. He felt like a Huffy kind of person. Anyway,
you can't trust Alex Jones then, because Schwinn was the American bicycle. Huffy, that was like some communist conspiracy.
Yeah, but they came out with this bicycle called a Red Line, and that was kind of like the, you know, wow, a Red Line. It was really a better frame, and you didn't bend the forks as much, and I just remember it being one step above both of those. Huffy was cheaper. And then there was Nishiki.
I remember my Schwinn bike. We would build ramps and we would jump them. I remember doing bicycle jumps and just, unfortunately, finding the middle bar right where your gonads are. And I can remember being in pain for like days after a bicycle jump. But yeah, that's a whole other story.
Well, I'm almost back in shape as far as cycling goes in
a
couple weeks,
bike at that
man.
Point in time. You know, I didn't want that crossbar right in front of my gonads, but go ahead.
I don't know. In a couple weeks when it gets a little warmer out here, I'll be riding up to your house from when the show ends. I kind of put that on my radar because I got this new bike, and that's been a while since I rode your road. And it's about time to get pedaling, you know. I kind of like pedaling.
Steve used to ride from town out to my place, which is about 11 miles, something like that. Yeah.
Let's go to Kansas. Who's from Kansas? Sherry's in Kansas. That's right. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
This is in the woo-woo category.
Okay.
Since we're talking about a little woo-woo. Friday night, when you were on Beyond the Official Narrative, you were asking that guy that called in about freeze dryers about doing eggs.
Yeah.
Years ago, I bought this little book on pyramids by this Canadian guy that had been experimenting with pyramids. And like he built him a pyramid greenhouse, I believe, and different stuff and pyramid energy, and he had built this little cardboard pyramid deal. It was a lot of little pyramids, and they, you know, I looked for the book, and I wouldn't have given it away because it really was interesting, but I couldn't find it. But anyway, they were probably not more than 2 inches high, but it was probably, it looked like quite a few. And he did an experiment with an egg where he actually cracked an egg into a dish without breaking the yolk, and he set it on top of this pyramid, and it took, I don't remember how long it took it to dry, but it did dry, and then he let it go for I don't know how long, and later on, he rehydrated it, and he claimed that the egg, the yolk, was still soft, was still liquidy.
Hmm.
Isn't that kind of weird?
It's pretty weird. I thought that he... Yeah, I was thinking you were going to say he stacked all of his eggs in a pyramid, and I'm like, okay.
No, but I, you know... Yeah, he claimed that he fried it, you know, but the, he was able to fry it and eat it without, and the egg, the yolk.
I love the woo-woo. All it does is tell us how much that we don't understand. I mean, when it, stories of breatharians, those are the funny ones. You ever hear stories of breatharians?
Are those people
sharing?
That exist on only breathing? They don't eat?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right? The lore goes that NASA even measured a breatharian and monitored him for a month or year, or just depends who tells the story, right? And this person didn't lose muscle mass or fat, and all he did was breathe. and it's like, wow, okay. And you know, I'm sure I could play Twisted Scripture and grab the Bible and point to some passages to prove or disprove that, depending upon my thoughts about the whole thing. But you know, it's kind of like, it's like when we look at the inverted hollow earth or flat earth theory, since Mike brought it up. Oh, blaming Mike. Yeah, okay. But flat earth, I sat there, and I don't know if anybody else has done that, you know, mental exercise of going, okay, if I'm in a plane and I'm doing flat earth here, right, is the earth a rectangle or a square? And I'm going to pick a square, right? So we live on a flat square. And so I'm flying to the east. What happens when I get to the end of this flat square? Right? How do I get to the other side? If we can, we get, and I was thinking big teleporters or some kind of a spatial anomaly. I don't know. You ever ask yourself that question, Sherry?
Well, no. First I want to go back to the breatharian.
Okay.
What is the average life expectancy of a breatharian?
Oh my God. Oh, thank you. That's a great. Wait.
No,
thank
I'm
you for
I'm
making
curious.
Me laugh. Thank you
I'm
for making me laugh.
I'm curious where
Gary.
The end of the earth is, too, for these flat earthers, you know. I want to go there. I want to see the drop off.
Yeah, so do I.
Except I'd have to get so close, I'd probably drop off, so maybe I don't. Hey, I want to ask you guys, because I haven't heard you mention it. And Dave Krieger mentioned this on one of his shows this week. I think it was towards the end of the week. He said some prominent lady there in, you know, now I'm drawing a blank on your town there.
Fredericksburg?
Fredericksburg. She, okay. Drove into a pond or some body of water in her Tesla, and she died because she couldn't get her door open.
I haven't heard you guys mention that. Was Fredericksburg.
That's what he said, Fredericksburg.
Well, you know, there is Fredericksburg, wrong. Virginia. You know, there's Fredericksburg, Virginia. Oh, really?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't hear about that one.
Wow. Okay.
Of course, they don't put bad things in the paper because that would hurt the tourism.
Yeah, I don't know. The latest thing that I thought I heard was some chick was kidnapped and shot some guy on Winery Row here in Fredericksburg, and that was about a week ago. Thought that was big news that wasn't covered too much. But I will follow up with that. That sounds pretty fun. There's a lot of Teslas out here. A lot of stupid people. I mean, Teslas.
Yeah.
I mean, stupid people.
Yeah.
I mean, but they even got people. Those other stupid cars. I forget what they're called. We got a lot of electric cars, right? There's they love to drive those things around. I don't know. Maybe that's because we're turning into a liberal city.
Well, I'd sure like to have somebody take a reading inside one of those things while it's running with one of those meters, EMF meters.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, definitely. but people don't really care about that kind of stuff because, you know, God, what is his name that wrote Dirty Electricity? Sam Milham, I think it was, right? He back in 2010 or something, he talked about dirty electricity, and they got the Stetzerizer that, you know, it was a big deal in the 90s. The question and in the early 2000s, is electricity causing us damage to our chassis or our bodies, the human body, right? And everybody's like, well, most of the 90s and the 2000s was, I don't care. Well, the 90s, it wasn't as technologically advanced as the 2000s. In the 2000s, everybody was getting trained to carry cell phones around, and all they wanted was the signal to work, right? Magically. But the 90s wasn't that way.
But what y'all don't understand, if you've got enough money to buy a Tesla, EMF can't hurt you because you're rich.
Well, you know that guy that Ingrid's had on a few times, Martin Paul, he's a PhD guy, and he's done a lot on investigating EMF, and he says something about it disrupts your... Something about the calcium in your body, and they were tying
the calcium ion channels. Yes, yeah,
yeah. The
calcium ion channels. Yeah,
tying it to maybe osteoporosis, and
Sherry, the bad thing about most of everything they're doing to us is it's incremental. There is no. It's like the vaccines or the jabs or whatever you want to call them. You know. For most people, there's not an instant effect, but chronic, yes. You know, it's like, you know, EMF. You know, it doesn't hurt you right away, but long-term exposure
is
probably not good for you. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Someone close to me is recently broke their collarbone, and they've got, you know, around a lot of wireless besides his phone, his truck, and all this. And he was told when he went in to get patched up that he was already showing signs of osteoporosis, and he's like 50.
Mm. Hey, Alan, do you call Krieger at all anymore? Or have you just stopped talking to him, stopped listening to him?
I called him one time because I heard him do something that I just vehemently just made me sick. And no, I don't really listen to him that much. When I do listen, I hear Sherry call. Sherry calls him all the time, and so does Chance, you know, and a couple of other callers. But I heard that man say something that just really turned me off of wanting to listen to him. I'm sorry, you know, it might have just been a momentary thing, and I don't know if Sherry was listening when I made that call. And no, I've not called him since, and I very rarely listen, to tell you the truth.
Mm, okay. No, I
don't
understand.
Always listen to him either.
I try to tune in every once in a while, you know, but my life is...
He's got a lot of hopium in the system, which I guess...
Yeah.
I'm just kind of jaded.
Imagine that, right? My queen.
Huh. You know, I would never have thought you were jaded. But I am interested right now to find out if a Tesla went into the water, right? That sounds like the start of a joke. Tesla went into the water. Who came out? But people have been dying in cars all the time.
How did that even pass the deal with, you know, with the EPA and with the transportation department? Because I had a friend here in Wichita that He owns a machine shop, and he developed a carburetor that got high mileage. And when he went to the EPA to see what he had to do to get it marketed, they told him he was going to have to, and this would have been an add-on. You know, he was going to have to buy two brand new cars, and they would be totaled. They would be crashed. And he didn't have that kind of money.
Sherry.
Yeah, that's funny.
Sherry, all you have to do is to watch the movie Idiocracy, and you will understand that Brando bought the FDA and the USDA.
Hey, where do you get that?
But Sherry,
where do you get Idiocracy?
But Brando's got what plants crave.
Got what plants crave.
I don't know. It's available at movie places.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I've got a DVD. You know that's almost a VHS tape.
You can get a DVD.
I'm sure you can find it
probably
online. Watch that movie. It's so poignant to what's really going on in today's world. You know the guy that made it. He said, I thought it was making a spoof on society. I never thought it would be a documentary.
It's terrible.
Anyway, I better get off and let you guys get on with the show. Good talking to you.
Okay, now that we're thoroughly distracted, you know.
Okay.
There goes my queen. Thank you.
Yeah. So now
she's
all
my queen, but we don't live together. You know, kind of like the royals have always done. But
well, it's interesting and jaded. But you know, it's really funny. But I guess the point I wanted to get to when she was on the phone was like going to the whoever to say I got a new carburetor. Right, and I want a patent on it. Okay, first you need a chicken, and then I need you to stand on one leg and cluck like a chicken. Well, what does that do? Well, I just need you to do it, right? Because
do you need a chicken or do you need an egg? Which one of them came first?
But the rules and everything they don't make any sense, and they're not supposed to make sense. They're there.
Stanley Meyer. Killed in the prime of his life. You know, John Bedini got killed in the prime of his life, releasing free energy technology.
But a lot of those people are trapped in the I'm going to get rich and famous category.
Right.
Right. You know, back when I first met you, we were talking about free energy. That was one of the common things that you and I had in when we first met, right? The Joe cell, the guy that invented the Joe cell, whether that's an HHO, you know, mechanism, and there's a lot of discussion about that. He said the Joe cell could run an engine on just this little doohickey with water in it, right? It's pretty much like runs on water, but he didn't want any credit. He didn't want a patent on it. He didn't even want to be known. Because as soon as you're known, patented, or anything like that, he just wanted it free to the world. And it's the only way that this free energy is going to get out. And by the way, I hear free energy is coming again soon this year. Don't hold your breath because breatharian stuff like that. That's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah. Or a Haitian barbecue. Eat some long pork. Yeah. Come into a neighborhood near you.
Yeah, I don't know. Free energy, is it there? Yeah, most likely. I mean, you know, as we talk about energy in this world, we just don't understand it, whether it's
Steve,
a flat earth, round earth, inverted, hollow earth.
You played the audio of a show from long ago, and the guy said, do you know there's more energy released in a thunderstorm than man has created this whole time on the planet?
Folks, we're
surrounded in a sea of energy. They just don't want us to know how to harvest it and use it because that would make us totally free. If you didn't have an electric line running to your house and pay your power bill every week, you know, you could heat yourself, you could cook your food, you could cool yourself, you could do anything you wanted to, if we knew how to harness the sea of energy that we're surrounded by. A thunderstorm. One thunderstorm produces more energy than man has ever created on this planet since we've been recording history.
What's funny, Alan, is you brought up that clip that I played of Chris Gerner and the caller from Canada, and he threw out so many facts at Chris that just didn't talk about weather modification. He was just stating facts, right? Fact that that was a big storm. Fact that electricity is caused by storm. Fact, and then, so you can't modify the weather because what? He didn't really even, and that's the fascinating thing about callers. They call in, and that particular caller in the earlier on in the show sat there and said that, well, out of your ignorance, you're ignorant, and there's a lot of ignorant people out here, and you're dangerous. I'm like, going, holy crap. Chris, wow, you let them get away with an awful lot.
You know, it's like, you know, Steve, this is kind of like, you know, we talk about HARP, you know, the HARP installation, that's ancient technology. This stuff has been micronized, and there are HARP installations everywhere across this planet. Ionospheric heaters, if you heat the ionosphere, it's going to change the flow of the jet stream. You can control and steer the weather patterns way up above our head up there. You can do it.
Yeah, you know, to think that, man... we think we're so smart, you know, and we being, there we go. I tell Andy not to use the we term, and then I use the we term. It's like the world thinks it's so smart, right? The general population sit there and think that they've got it all down.
The powers that be, we call them they, them, you know. What the hell else can you call them? We really don't know who the power is. It might be a giant high school space alien girl, for all I know.
Maybe so. I don't know. Joseph P. Farrell outlined an interesting world.
We could just be a dust speck on the tip of a dandelion held in an elephant's trunk.
And now you're going back to your Whoville type stuff. Well, we're getting near the end of the show. And before I go, I'd like to say thank you all for listening. I am going to eat a glassed egg for breakfast, and this is a glass egg that came from 2023, and I'll let you all know if it, well, a year old egg that's been submersed in lime water is going to get me sick or not. I've been, you know, I cracked one a couple weeks ago. I think I've mentioned this on air previously. I cracked one and I cooked it. It smelled like an egg. You know, it just might work, but I got to know if it works, right? And so now it's a good enough time. You know, why wait till you're starving to experiment?
It worked for how long? You know, it's like, you know, I've got Mountain House storage food here. And you know, Andy was here with me. We opened up one of those big cans of Mountain House ground beef. You know, it tasted like ground beef, and it's 20
really?
Some odd years old. Yeah.
20-year-old moo-moo. Wow. I mean, my body won't be in that good a shape in 20 years, but I didn't stuff myself into a dehydrator.
Take care out there, folks. Here's the music. Take care, man. Thank you for listening. I love all y'all out there. We'll talk to you.
All right. Dave Kopecks coming up next. Red Pill Politics. Stay tuned. Thank you.
See you guys. With all that they had to give, made sure that their brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, Fact Bit Number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilajit is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and food stuff. Simply put, Shilajit makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.